Good to see you all. Thank you for coming this morning, for joining. You guys probably already knew this, but did you realize you each bring something unique and wonderful to this gathering? Because each in our individuality, we come together and form like this body, which is such an amazing thing, this family. And so thank you for coming and bringing your uniqueness, who you are, to it. My name is Dove, and it's good to be together. This week, I spent a little time up in Minneapolis, Minnesota. They had a pastors and leaders conference up there. Really encouraging and challenging. It was refreshing and sobering. And some of the challenges that people all over our country are going through, and the faithfulness of God in those challenges. And as we grow just to know God dearer and to fall in love with Him more, even when life is not what we expected, and to continue to move forward and grow in our relationship with Him. So it was really good. One evening when I was there, we went out to eat. For some of you, when a server brings you the wrong food, it's like, oh well, I'll eat it and enjoy it and have a good attitude. It's sustenance. Some of you might eat it and the whole time go, miserable, miserable, this is not what I wanted. And some of you might be like harsh and mean to your server. Please don't do that. Huh, that's bad. What is this? I told you I wanted this, and throw a big fit. And some of you in love could speak the truth. Just speak the truth. This is what I wanted, and that's not what I got. There's no harshness. There is love. And so today we're talking about speaking the truth with love. In Ephesians 4:15, it says, instead, speaking the truth in love. And there's real power in speaking the truth in love. And so I think there's kind of on a spectrum. We can not speak the truth, or we could speak the truth. And for some of us, that's easier or harder, and in certain circumstances. But then it gets bigger. We could speak the truth with love. This is our goal. Or we could speak the truth, but not have love. Or we could not speak the truth, just zip our mouths, but still genuinely love. Or we could do neither. We don't speak the truth, and we don't love. So I think this is the goal right here. Speaking the truth with love is the goal of how to communicate, how to speak. I think of speaking the truth without love as kind of the bulldozer. And some of you guys might struggle with being the bulldozers. You are good at speaking the truth, but you just run over people. Sorry that hurt. Somebody had to say it. And then not speaking the truth with love, I think of as kind of the soda bottle. So it's all capped in, and it's just sweetness. A lot of sweetness. It doesn't, there's no bitterness. It doesn't offend anybody. It just brings love, no challenge. And then not speaking and not loving to me is just death. It's just like, just cold fish. And there's not really any connections, just a cold fish. No, I don't really care, and I don't really love. I don't speak. When I don't speak, I don't love. And I think realistically, in my experience, I can tend to be the soda bottle. But what happens a lot of times for me is that I eventually can go to the cold fish dead. Because if I never speak, at first it's fine, but after a little bit, I slowly get some resentment because I never spoke what I should have spoken. It starts to build up, and eventually I can get cold. Or what happens to some of us who have a challenge in speaking, but we're trying to be really loving, so we're just loving, 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 but we never speak, is that it starts to shake that soda bottle up pretty good, and pretty soon, we speak. And it all comes pouring out. Boom. And it's not as loving as it was when it was contained. I was going to bring some, have you guys taken soda and put Mentos in it? And I decided against it. Anyways, try it. It's pretty fun. Get some Mentos and put it in soda and it will make a pretty good explosion. This is also true of people who don't speak that are really loving. But so this morning we're going to talk about that. And the situations that might be difficult for me to speak in might be really easy for you to speak in. And vice versa. But I think we all have some areas in our lives where it's difficult to say things. It's just challenging. And in those places, how can we speak the truth in love? And so, why don't we take a moment and pray? Yeah, God, I do ask that you would, in whichever of those camps we find ourselves, I ask that you would grow us. I ask that you would grow us to have the courage to speak the truth in love to one another. And I pray that you would just guide us this morning. Ask you continue to take us forward, whatever that next step is for each one of us, you would take us forward. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to talk a little bit about some things that can be difficult to speak about. These are three things that I find that are difficult to speak about, and yet they're very important, and they're very much worth speaking. And the first of those is sharing my faith. And so, for some of you, this might be really easy, but I think for most of us, there is a challenge in sharing our faith. It's kind of daunting at times. And so, I want to just share my faith with you a little bit. I believe that Jesus Christ came as a man and yet possessed the fullness of God, and that he died on a cross, and that 3 days later he rose from the dead. And he didn't just come back to life and then die again. He came back to life and then rose to heaven. I believe it really happened in time and space. I believe it happened in history, and it was a true event. And not only that, but I believe that his death was a death in my place. He was a substitute for me. His death was a death I deserved, but he took it. And I believe when he rose from the dead, that he rose so that he could give me new life. That new life that he was living in being coming back from the dead is a new life that is in me by faith, not by anything I accomplish, that I am made new and I have the Spirit of God in me. And I believe that one day all of this outer stuff, all the things of this life will disintegrate, but that inner part that's new is going to live forever. And I'm going to live forever with God. That's what I believe. That is my faith. And I believe that anyone, regardless of what they've done, regardless of who they are or where they've been or where they live, whoever puts their faith in Christ, whoever trusts him, has their death taken care of and receives his life as a new life that will live forever. And it's an invitation for anybody to trust and receive. And I believe he opened a door that I can be with God now, and I experience God now, and I will be with God forever in a fuller way, in the fullness of all the expression of God. And so Peter says, when I share my faith, in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. He's the one, not me. He accomplished it. He's the king. He's the one I'm following. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that we have. But do this with gentleness and respect. He says we should always be ready to share about the hope that we have. If you have faith in Christ and you've received his life, always be ready to tell someone. Always be ready to share that. Always be ready to claim the hope, the hope and the goodness of God in this life and even more in the next. But do this with gentleness and respect. Not to bring that in some kind of, oh, I'm above you, I know all the answers. It's not by my doing. I came to believe in this. God touched my life through this. I have experienced life through this. He accomplished it for me just by faith. I receive it. May we speak the truth in love. Yeah, this is what I believe. This is what I have received. This is what God has done in my life. This is how He's changed me since He's come into my life. And I don't do that in harshness or in a way to belittle anybody else, but with gentleness and respect. Another area that I think is really hard for me and for many is to share with you something I see in your life. It's like when someone's got a booger sticking on the side of their nose. You guys have probably all, maybe you saw me with one, I don't know. But I'm sure you've seen somebody, right? They got a little moco just sitting there. So at that time, this is challenging to me. Okay. The loving thing to do is to tell me that I have a little thing on my nose. The unloving thing to do is to let me go talk to 5 more people. But it doesn't mean I want to. And when I see something in someone's life, I am challenged in love to speak something to that. And it's not a, oh, dude, that's gross. Look what you have on your nose, man. That's the truth, but that ain't love. And it's not just let it go. That might feel like love. There ain't no truth in there. And maybe it's just a little, I don't have the courage to say anything, but just a little signal. Or maybe just tell somebody, hey, you got something. Looks like you got something on your nose. And I don't know about anybody else. Has anybody ever appreciated somebody telling you that? Like, hey, thank you. Like, how many other people have I just walked by that didn't say anything? And so we have a call to in love speak things that we see in each other's lives. Now, this is dangerous territory because this has the potential to be really harsh and to hurt people. And yet at the same time, it has the potential to really make a difference in somebody's life. I want to turn to that passage in Ephesians 4:15 through 16. If you have you want to grab a Bible or if you want to Google it. All right, Ephesians 4:15 says, instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of Him who is the head, that is Christ. From Him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. What a cool picture. Each one of us has a part in the body. And I think each one of us, and definitely me, has a tendency to not want to be a part of the body. And if I'm a hand, I want to go and do hand stuff. And the feet are sometimes just in the way, keeping me from doing it. And we all have our tendency to go our own direction and to want to do our own things. And part of that's really good. We're each given individual things to do. And yet there's a unity that we should have together. There's a unity that we have as we each build each other up, as we each speak with love. And we each have a responsibility to speak into one another's lives. And one of those really challenging places is if we see something in another person's life that really concerns us. Like, oh, I don't think the path you're going on is right. In fact, I think the path you're on might fall off a cliff. And so sometimes for me and my people pleasing, it's like, if I tell them there's a cliff up here, they're going to be mad at me. They're not going to like me. And I'll just love them. I love you. I love you. Hey, be careful. Love you. That's not really love, but it feels good to me. And yet I've seen words spoken so harshly that have totally disconnected love that I don't want to go that route. But true love is able to say, hey, I think I know where this path goes. I'm concerned for you and I want to just warn you. And it doesn't force myself. It doesn't say you have to do this. But recently, even as I was studying this out, there's all these words that the Bible uses, like rebuke and admonish and reproof and different things. The thing that I see is a lot of those are our pastors and leaders are supposed to do that, maybe even more than other people. And that scares me, because I want you guys all to like me. And if you fall off a cliff, as long as you like me while you fall off the cliff, sometimes I'm totally happy with that. And that's screwed up. That's not right. And so there's a call in us when we see something in someone's life in love to say, hey, there's kind of like, I don't know if you knew it. It looks like a booger is in your life. I just, for your sake, I wanted to speak something. I'm not demanding or telling you anything. I want you to hear that. In Galatians 6:1, Paul writes to this church. He says, brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. Isn't that a cool flavor? Restore that person gently. Man, somebody bombed. They just got caught in a sin. Who knows what it was? Maybe it was something gross and like shameful. And you see that in somebody's life, you restore them gently. You speak it gently. But watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted. I am so grateful. I had a good friend who had the courage to ask me questions about my girlfriend that I had in college. And I know that took a lot of courage. And I wasn't like super happy to hear it. Oh, thanks so much. Yeah. At the time, I was like, how dare you? Kind of in my heart. I didn't say that. And then later, especially after I got together with my wife now, it's like, thank you. He had the courage just to ask me about it, just to speak into that, just to say some things. And the truth in love is not some kind of witch hunt. It's not looking for sins in people's lives. But as we're around each other, we know each other. Can we have the courage to speak something? Hey, brother, I think the tone you use with your wife might be a little harsh. I don't know if you even noticed that. Or, hey, friend, the way you speak to your kids in public concerns me. I'm not telling you anything about what you need to do. There's an awareness that we don't have. We can't see that sometimes. And it's a gift to see that in love. And all of you guys know when it's not a gift, when it's just mean. And so that's an area I feel like God is asking me to grow in. And that's a challenging place. It is such a beautiful place to speak the truth in love. The third one, it is really valuable and I think really difficult to share the feelings, desires, needs, and boundaries that are important to me. Those things that are important to me, I need to communicate those in love. And sometimes those are not communicated in love and they become demanding and harsh. And sometimes we don't communicate them at all, thinking it's love, and just get mowed over. And then over time start to get resentful, start to get cold and tired and angry. And to learn to speak those parts of us in love. This is a scary one. I don't go and share my feelings with everyone. I just want to give a couple helpful tools that have been really helpful to me in learning how to speak the truth with love and not being a bulldozer or just a can of soda or a dead fish. The first is to ask and to not demand. Asking is very different than demanding. When I ask someone something, it honors them. It gives them the freedom to choose if they want to respond or not. When I demand something, it dishonors someone. When I demand something, it shows that I don't really trust that person. Because if I trust somebody, I'm able to ask. And asking is vulnerable, kind of puts me out there. Hey, I was wondering if you would help me out and do this. Now they have an opportunity to be like, say whatever. No, I don't care about that. No, that's dumb. No, why would you want that? But it also gives them an opportunity to be like, yeah, I would love to be able to do that. So here's an example. This is demanding, don't touch me or I will punch you in the face. Okay, this person is establishing boundaries. Boundaries are important to establish. I think in some situations where someone is extremely unsafe and there is no level of love, that may be appropriate. This would not be appropriate with your spouse. This would not be appropriate in almost any circle. I think a more appropriate place to ask would be like, I don't like when people poke me on the shoulder. Would you please stop? I'm asking, I'm saying something, rather than like, dude, you touch me again, I will knock your block off. And so, I guess one kind of aside on that is, in our lives, if we are in unsafe situations, places where when we communicate something, this is a boundary I have, and people violate that, then the response that Jesus laid out is that we should get somebody else to help us. Rather than upping it and becoming unloving or who knows, fighting this person, Jesus says, if this person won't listen to what you're bringing, then get somebody else or two other people with you and talk to this person together and ask them and maybe even draw some lines and tell them. And if you are in some unsafe relationships, I encourage you to continue to establish those safe things and ask for help as you need it. And that's part of why we have other people in our lives, is to help us in that. But generally, in relationships where we're safe, I can ask for my requests. I can ask for things that are important to me. And I can speak those in a really healthy way. The second one, I think, is a really powerful tool, is to use I statements instead of you statements. And so we're going to look at a couple of these. I was thinking first of just a couple of I statements in the Bible. In 2 Corinthians 12:20, Paul writes, "For I'm afraid that when I come, I may not find you as I want you to be, and you may not find me as you want me to be." So Paul's kind of saying, I'm going to come visit you guys, but we just wrote these letters to each other, and it might get kind of heated. I don't know. So I'm a little bit afraid. But he says it in an I statement. I'm afraid that when I come, this might happen. I don't know what it would look like in a you statement. You guys better shape up, because I'm coming, and you better be ready, and if you give me any sass, we're going to throw down. I don't know. Like, what would you say in the you statement? Like, but this happens so much, and if you listen to your language in relationships, it's amazing how it changes the tone of the entire conversation when it goes to you language versus I language. Here's another example in Philippians. Paul says, I plead with Euodia and I plead with Syntyche, if I didn't say those right, I'm sorry, to be of the same mind in the Lord. So it's kind of nice. He's saying, I plead. He's adding his emotion to it instead of saying, listen here, Euodia and Syntyche, you guys need to agree with each other. No more childish games. You're mature. Stop your bickering. By adding some I language, it makes these, it adds love. It adds a connection to these. I want to look at a couple of those. So this might be in a relationship, maybe a friend or parent, kid, whoever. If someone made a decision that affected you, but they never asked you for your input, they never said, they just didn't even tell you about it. They just made the decision on their own. This might be a you statement that we could make. You don't care about my needs. You didn't think to consider what is important to me. You should ask me first. And maybe you want to add, you are a narcissistic, self-centered jerk. But I think here in church, we look at that and go, no, that's not how people talk. But yeah, this is actually what people say to each other, only they usually yell it because, you know, put a little emphasis on there. Hopefully not too much. Now watch what happens when I change a you statement to an I statement. I felt overlooked. When you made that decision without asking me what I think, I would like it if you asked me first. This I language is so much more diffusing. Which one of those would make you respond in defensiveness or could? Either one, they're both making the first one, I think it brings the guns out. Hey, you did this and you did this. Like, oh yeah? Well, you, oh yeah? Well, it just kind of fuels that. But the second one, I felt overlooked. Don't be such a sissy. No. I mean, but here's the risk. That's what I'm afraid of. That's why I don't speak in the second one sometimes. Because the second one is vulnerable. The second one asks me to trust that other person. If I tell you, hey, I felt overlooked when you made this decision without asking me, you have the opportunity to care or not care. I don't care. So it's safer for me to go in. You are a self-centered jerk. You don't even think about me. That's safe for me. But there's not love in it. So for me, I desire relationships with love. Let's check this out. The other thing is, sometimes we think we're speaking the truth. I want to look at these. Are these really the truth or not? You don't care about my needs. Feels true. I think that's an opinion. You didn't think to consider what's important to me. I think that's an opinion. Feels true. I got a lot of evidence. I'm pretty sure I know what you're thinking, because you always think that way. You should ask me first. That's an opinion. Says who? Says me. You should. All of those are actually opinions. Check out the second one. I felt overlooked. That is a fact. Whether or not I should have felt overlooked could be debated. But it is a fact that I felt overlooked. And I communicated that truth in love. I felt overlooked. When you made that decision without asking me what I think, that's a fact. The decision was made without asking me what I think. I would like it if you asked me first. That's a fact. I would. I would like it if you asked me first. And so not only am I changing it where it's a lot softer and warmer, but I'm also keeping it where it's true. And so how many of you find those second ones kind of scary? The second one's a little scary in some relationships. Because if I speak an I statement, if I let you see what I'm thinking or feeling, then I don't know what you would do with that. You might honor it or you might not. And yet, this is what I have found has helped make conversations full of love rather than just truth. And so I think there's a challenge for us in there. What would happen if we all spoke the truth in love? What would happen if our conversations were that way, where we didn't shy away from speaking truth, where we actually had the courage to say, you know what? I would desire if we did this. That's true. I was able to speak a desire really clearly, to speak something I need, to speak boundaries. If I was able to speak something I see in someone's life who I care about that concerns me, if I was able to speak the faith that I have that Christ is making all things new, wouldn't that be amazing if I was able to do that in love, where it wasn't harshness? What if all around that was the flavor of our conversation, that we spoke in love and we didn't hold back from speaking the truth? I think we can speak and bring beauty and life to this world and honor ourselves and honor God and do it in a way that's really loving. So let's close in prayer. God, I know I'm challenged this morning. I don't know if anybody else is challenged. God, I pray for that place where what comes out of our mouths, sometimes I can hardly control it. It just comes out. God, I ask that you would give us tongues that speak love. God, I ask that you would give us tongues that speak truth that's worth being spoken. I ask that you would give us hearts that don't run over other people and don't just try to martyr ourselves, but that really walk in what you would have and speak the truth in love. God, I ask you to continue to take us forward in our relationships. Thank you for all the people in my life. Thank you for what you're doing. In Jesus' name, amen.